Let's really, if you really know and the truth of the matter, none of us can say that the Lord has not been faithful to us. Every one of us would have to acknowledge that the Lord's been a great, gracious God. And those that may say, well, I don't know, Brother Darrell, there's some things that happened in my life or whatever, they just don't know what the Lord has done for them and how it could have been. I thank the Lord for His faithfulness to me. Thank the Lord for a safe trip back from California. We want to turn to Romans, the 7th chapter. I want to begin reading in the 19th verse, Romans 7, verse 19. If you have it, you can read it for us. All right, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that's what I do.
Now,
if I do that, what I would not, I'm not the one that's doing it, but it's sin that's dwelling in me. Isn't this the situation that we all were in before we gave our heart to the Lord? And I don't believe that everybody that is doing wrong wants to do the level of wrong that they're doing. So, you know, in some ways people want to do, you've heard people say, I'm not quite ready to give my heart to the Lord. I'm not quite ready to get saved. There are some things that I want to do out in this world, and I just can't do it if I get saved. But, you know, every person that has been unsaved for any length of time, they will go to a level that they never thought they would go to. It may not be the level that everybody else goes to. It may not be quite as deep as somebody else has gone, but you'll go to a level that you did not think that you would stoop to that. And you'll do it. Now, you may not tell anybody about it, and nobody may ever know about it, but ultimately, you'll know about it. All right? So this is the situation that Paul was in. He said, the good that I would, I don't do it. The evil that I would not, that's what I do. Read, please.
I find in a law
that when I would do good,
evil is present
with me.
I delight in the law
of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So this is the scripture that I want us to give concentration on today. It says here, I see then another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Do you realize that there is a war against your mind? The enemy is doing everything that he possibly can to bring about whatever kind of attacks that he possibly can. If you go in a natural sense and you think about a war and you're in a war zone, there are a few things that you're going to try to do. One of the things that we're going to try to do is you're going to try to destroy the enemy. And if you can't destroy, if you can't just completely kill them off, those that that remain alive, you're going to captivate them. You're going to bring them into captivity, right? And you're going to take them. And there's a lot of folks that we've heard, the POWs and those that have gone to Vietnam and the different wars, and they've been caught by the enemy. And those that we have over in Gitmo and all these places that we're talking about, these are enemies that we have brought into captivity or that have been brought into captivity. This is what the enemy wants to do to every one of us. He wants to bring us into captivity. And so we see here in this scripture, it says, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So what happens is, when a person is living in sin, what the enemy does, he actually captivates them and brings them into captivity to the law of sin that is in their members. The things that they want to do, the things that they don't want to do, the enemy forces them. He brings them into a place that they have to do those kinds of things. But I thank the Lord that there is hope today. I don't have to sin more or less every day. I don't have to do what I don't want to do. And you know, I say it like this, and I know people have said, and I've heard people say, you know what, you've got a list of do's and don'ts. I don't have a list of do's and don'ts. You know, what I say is there's only one thing that I can't do, and that's sin. If I know it's sin, I can't do it. Everything else I have liberty to do. You know, that's how Adam and Eve was. In the Garden of Eden, there was only one thing that they couldn't do. They have the liberty to do whatever it is that they wanted to do, but just don't eat that one, the fruit of that one tree. That is the same thing, that is the same mandate, that the same law that God has given to every one of us. Those things that you know not to do, those are the things that I require you not to do. Everything else you have liberty to do. You know, the good thing about it is that when I gave my heart to the Lord, when a person, whoever you may be, when you give your heart to the Lord, what the Lord does is He takes the want to out of you, doesn't He? I don't want to do those things that I used to do. They were pitiful to begin with. Maybe we got a little pleasure out of them, but we decided that at the end there was this sting. There was this part of it that we just didn't want to have anything to do with anymore. And so the Lord took that want to out. And you know the Lord continues to take that out of our hearts. I thank the Lord for that. All right? 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So in other words, there are a lot of folks in today's day and time that will say that this is the state that Paul was in his Christian state. So in other words, after he gave his heart to the Lord, then this is what he's talking about. This is not a sanctified, saved and sanctified experience. This is an experience of a man before he gave, this is my experience, this is your experience, no doubt, before you gave your heart to the Lord. But once you give your heart to the Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse a man from his sins. Not just in them, but from them. You can live a life that is righteous and holy, and you can live a life that's not bound, you're not bound by the things of sin that you were once bound with. I thank the Lord for that. Now, I want to deal with today, more than that, I want to point out the war that is in our minds. The war that is in our minds. And one of the things that I've learned in our generation today, we have more stress on us, I believe, than any other generation in previous history. In history, that we have right available to us everything, and we can do things. You take our little cell phones, right? Little iPhone. I think about how it replaces the little telephone that was hooked to the wall. Remember those times? Mm-hmm. Remember the computers that was hooked? Remember the answering machines? Remember the video? You remember the big video things that we used to take the video movies out of? We have all of that right here on our phone.
Yes.
We have the internet. We have available to us everything that we possibly can. I can get on a plane right now and I can be in another country in a few hours. They couldn't do that in times past. So what all of this does, we have available to us, and I'm not so certain that this is what God initially intended, so we have available to us all of these things at our disposal just like this. And because we have this at our disposal, it puts more stress on our minds. And we deal with a lot more stress in a 24-hour period than people probably did in a week's time 50 or 60 years ago. All right? In a 24-hour period, we have all of these things that we have to deal with, and we are constantly dealing. You remember how we used to not answer our phones until we got home? Right now, we all have, most of us, most of the adults here in this audience have a cell phone. 99% of us. Do you think that's too much? You think probably 100% of the adults. I'm not talking about children. The children, the debate is still out as to whether they even need one. All right? As far as I'm concerned. But adults, it's almost as though, and what happens, it used to be that we came back home and checked our messages, but what happens if you forget your cell phone? What we tend to do, we tend to go right back and get it because we might need it. Well, our cars probably weren't as good back then as they are now. Well, if I break down, I'll have it. No, we have gotten accustomed to having all this stress, and it's almost addictive to the point that we feel like we need it. And so as a result, it's going to have some kind of an effect on us to go through all of these things and to have all of this stress on our life. Do you know one of the greatest health issues that we have today is not just heart attacks and diabetes. It's mental. It's a mental illness. And you see that what is rising in our government and the different ones are saying that we need to do more for people that are mentally ill. All right? And I understand that. But I wonder, how do we have this flourishing of people that have mental illness? And I believe that it's one of the reasons, among many, one of the reasons is we have so much information that is coming into us that we have to deal with, and so many suggestions on the media, whether it's the television, whether it's computer, whether it's billboards, whether it's magazines, whatever it is, there is always something that is dealing with our mind that is putting, well, we have to make some type of a decision. And we look at some things, and these things war against the law of our minds. And I believe that one of the reasons that the Lord says, will I find faith when I come, is because what we find is that what the enemy is going to do, he's going to present to us all kinds of things, and there are all kinds of things in our generation, in our society today, that are going so strongly against what the law of our mind is saying. All right? So the law in our mind, what God has given, let's take for instance this same-sex marriage thing that the federal government just dealt with. All right? So they dealt with it, but in our minds, in the minds of those that are Christians, that are saved, there is something that is going directly against it and warring against it, saying to us that if we believe a certain way, that marriage is between a man and a woman, you've heard it, I've heard it on talk shows, I've heard it on NPR, I've heard it on the internet, that if we say that marriage is just between a man and a woman, there's something wrong with us. Do you get that feel nowadays? That it should be between two people that love each other. And one of the things, and I know I often say this, they throw these things in our face and force, in other words, this is a frontal attack against these things that we believe. All right? Lord, help us. Warring against the law of our mind and bringing us into captivity. And if you speak out against it, then there's something wrong with you. All right? All right. Now, the devil does that in those things that we know are wrong. It's a very clear picture in the Word of God that shows us that those kinds of things are wrong. But when he presents it on a constant basis, different things, what he'll present also is that anybody that calls himself a Christian is a Christian. We're supposed to be a Christian nation. And I would venture to say, when this came out, I heard people say things like, well, you know what? And these are people that are Christians. I was talking to somebody when I was in California. And this person is a Christian. And they were saying that on Facebook, when this ruling came out, with the Supreme Court ruling, that a lot of people that were Christians, I put that in quotations, were all for it. And they were putting it on Facebook. Did you all notice any of that? On Facebook, well, you've probably got a different kind of group that know that that's wrong. But may the Lord help us. If he's doing it on things, if the devil is coming so strongly against us on things that we know are wrong, do you suppose that there is, while that is going on, that is a diversion to little bitty things that we're not so sure of, that he's coming in and he's redefining that as well? If he's going to redefine this over here and this is so blatant and we're looking over here and we're fighting over here, war. One of the things about a war is diversion. One of the things that they're wanting to do is make certain that you're looking in one place when they're wanting to make an attack in another area. And so what we have here is we're all so concentrated over here, but then what happens is he comes around behind us and he begins to fight us in other areas that we don't even realize and know that he's fighting us. So one of the things that's happening in our generation today is that there is, when somebody wants to say that I believe and that there is an absolute moral truth, that I believe that God spoke the word and that's it, then right over here in this area, there's going to be somebody that's going to be combating that as well. And how are they going to combat it? They're going to combat it in a way that they believe that if you say, Brother Darrell, if you say that the Church of God is the truth of God's word, then we just don't believe that anymore. Lord, help us. Well, I believe it, and I still believe it. And I believe it's our responsibility to get it as a revelation for ourselves. Because what is happening is the enemy is coming against the things that we know are right in our minds. Where the Lord has given us understanding and revelation and a clear understanding that this is the direction that I want you to go. And right here, while we're over here, dealing with all this minutia over here, things that are not important, we come over here and the enemy is planting seeds in our mind, warring against the law of our mind. The thing that God has given me a conviction on, the thing that God has given me a revelation on, that this is the way that I want you to go, I want you to walk in it. Saints, we've got to be careful. The enemy is fighting us with everything that he has, and what you and I need to know is that there is a war that is going on. The enemy is battling us. All right? You got that? All right. Let me tell you another thing that he fights us with. He fights us in our spiritual battles. I want us to turn to 1 Samuel. We're going to read a very familiar text of Scripture, 17th chapter. And I want to begin reading in the first verse. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belonged to Judah. And they pitched between Shochoh. Yes. Yes. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah. And they set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had graves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. This was quite a formidable looking foe, wasn't it? It was a giant. And you know, all of us have giants in our lives, don't we? And it seems like the enemy dresses them up, dresses them for the part, and does everything that he possibly can to strike fear in us. All right, read.
The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam.
It was like a weaver's beam.
And the
spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron.
One bearing
a shield went before him.
He stood and cried unto
the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you of a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, I want to say that oftentimes when we go into a battle, whatever that battle is, again, we want to keep in mind that there is a war against our mental faculties. And I want to keep in mind that every temptation that you've ever had started in your mind somewhere, where the enemy made a simple suggestion in your mind that you can do this or you should do this or what if or whatever it may be, the enemy planted that thought in your mind and that's where it started. That's where the war started. And whether or not you yield to it, you fight it there in your mind. You make it up in your mind. Scripture says about the temptation. Well, you make it up in your mind. Let's just put it this way. You make it up in your mind whether or not you're going to do it. And at the point that you make it up in your mind, you act upon whatever it is. If you decide, I'm not going to do it by the grace of God, I don't have to, then there is a conquering power that goes along with that. If you yield to that temptation in your mind, then there is going to be an action that follows that, right? May the Lord help us to realize and understand that. But one of the things that happens, what about those of us that are saved? And what about things that are not necessarily what you would say wrong, but they're just giants in our life? These things that come up before us, and it seems like the enemy is coming so hard, pressing against us. Do you know the devil is going to tell you how hard it is for you to be able to win? He's going to come up just like Goliath did. He's going to come up in the middle of your battle, whatever it is, and he's going to defy you and he's going to dare you to do anything. And what happens? What we do, we become afraid. Lord, I don't see how I can get through this. I don't see how I'm able to do this. And so, Lord, consequently, what do? I become fearful. And this is what Israel did. And this is what you and I will do if we're not careful. We'll become afraid of what the devil suggests to our mind, and we'll act upon that. So the children of Israel, these men that should have been some strong men that were able to go against this giant, why didn't several of them get a spear or something and just shoot him? Why did they allow him to take them through the psychological and mental turmoil that this man took them through? And in the same way, I want to ask you this. Why do we allow the enemy to take us through this mental, psychological turmoil, spiritual turmoil, That this battle is just too big for you. It's going to be overwhelming. It's just too much. If you go against this, if you stand where you are standing, it's going to just overwhelm you. Saints, you have what that giant doesn't have. You need to see the Lord in the way that the Lord wants you to see Him. Lord, help me to see You, that You're bigger than all of my problems. You're bigger than everything that I'll ever face. Lord, help me to have my mind stayed on You. Renew my mind, Lord. Renew the way that I'm thinking about this. Have you ever asked the Lord to renew the way that you're thinking about a particular thing? Lord, I don't see it the right way. Let me tell you, when you come against something that seems like it's too strong for you and it seems like it's too much for you, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me another perspective about this thing. So we see what David did, don't we? You can say that David wasn't a smart young boy, or you can say that David was a young man that understood how big his God was. And he did not allow whatever it was that Goliath was putting, whatever kind of spell he was, so to speak, that he was putting on everybody else. David said, we don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. And saints, what I want to encourage you about, every person that's here, whatever it is that you're going through, however big it is, God is bigger. It doesn't necessarily mean that God is going to change your circumstances, because sometimes that's what we look for, and we get disappointed when God doesn't change our circumstances. It would have been nice if God had just made Goliath drop over dead of a heart attack, wouldn't it? Then he would have been out of our way, but we'd have to fight the rest of the Philistines. So we're not just dealing with the giant. Say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not just the thing that is in front of you today that you're dealing with, but it's the whole host of things that's behind that thing, that if it overtakes you, then you've got to deal with all the other things as well. So you can't be afraid. You can't be overwhelmed. You can't be so disappointed in this imposing thing. Well, you know, we've heard how big Goliath is, haven't we? You know how big Goliath is? If you took another man and stood him on my shoulders, same height as me, Goliath was anywhere between, it kind of differs, but he was anywhere between about 9'6". What's the tallest basketball player? Anybody know how tall the tallest basketball player is? I don't know who they are. 7'2"? Roughly 7'2". The tallest professional basketball player is 7'2". And so Goliath would have been at least this much taller than him. Right? That's about 2 feet. And we'd all be looking up at him like that. So I'm 5'9". I like that. And I got my shoes on, 5'10". And so you've got another man, a 7 foot something. He's about this much taller than me, right? But they say that Goliath could have been anywhere from 9'6" to 11'10". And if he was 11'10", you can take another man, stand him on my shoulder, and that's how my height. Basically, stand him on my shoulder, and that's how high Goliath. And that would have been quite imposing, wouldn't it? When we look at have you ever seen a trial that big? That doubles you in size? Something that you know that I can't overcome this. Have you ever felt that way? And then if we listen to it, the devil will tell us that you are going to lose. He's warring against the law of my mind. The law of my mind, as a saint of God, says that every battle that I face, there is a law to that battle. And if I fight it lawfully, I always win. That is a law. That no matter what I am facing, that if I am a child of God and I face it according to the law of God, that every battle that I go through, no matter how difficult it is, I will come out a victor. That's a law. No one can take that away from you. The only one that can determine whether or not you're going to lose is you. Me. And so with that in mind, when we go against our battles, we need to understand that no matter what it is that we're facing, no matter how the enemy presents it, no matter how scary, how imposing, how intimidating it is, then I realize I've got a God that is much bigger than the giant. I don't have to submit to it. I don't have to believe what the enemy presents to my mind. I can believe what the Word of God says. Lord, help me to get it way down in the depths of my heart that I'm able to face whatever it is that I'm going to have to face. And I'm able not only to face it, but the law of God says that I've got to win this. That I'm going to win. Lord, help us. All right, so what happened? What happened when David came? Let's drop down. Let's go to the 38th verse.
And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass.
Put a helmet of brass upon his head.
Also he armed him with a coat of mail.
Armed him with a coat of mail.
David girded his sword
upon his armor.
Stayed
to go.
He had not proved it.
And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He took his staff in his hand, chosen five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. Now let me tell you, David did not go with something that somebody had told him about, did he? Do you know how you're going to win your battles? It's not with some, I'm not against books. I read them all the time. But it's not some newfangled thing that you're going to come up with, that you heard, read in a book, and you're going to try this in the next trial that you go through. I mean, the only book that you really need, honestly, is this one.
Yeah.
And every problem that you'll ever face in your life, the Lord has already explained it and given a solution in this book. All right? So you don't have to be concerned about trying something new. And David knew, I can't go out there with this. I'm going to go out there with something that I know has fought some battles and has won some victories. And saints, let me tell you, that's what you have to do. The devil will want you to try on something new. He'll want you to do something a little different. But let me tell you, the way for you to do it is, the Lord, this I know has worked. It's worked for me. It's worked for those before me. And I know it'll work right now. And when you go in and you begin to pray and seek the Lord about it, the Lord will take you through those places as well. All right? And so what he did, he chose five smooth stones out of the brook. Put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and a sling in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. Yes. He drew near unto David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, and this is saying him, he was but a youth and a ruddy and a fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, the beasts of the field. Then said David unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with sword and with the spear, with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. That's the law that we have to come to him in. I'm not coming to you on my own strength. I can't face the giants. I can't face these things that come to me. I can't do it on my own. I have to come to that understanding. And so you might say it, and you might think I'm cute down here, and you might think that I'm of no benefit and I'm of no threat, giant. You might think, oh, isn't that something? Isn't he cute going to come up here and try to come against me? I'm not coming to you. I've got something much greater behind me. I want you to understand that. And he said, I'm not coming to you in my name. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the army of God of hosts, of the armies of Israel whom you've defied. You've said something about him. Now we're going to prove to this. All right? This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And now he's doing a little bragging, isn't he? I'm going to smite you. You've done all of this for days. You've come out here for days, and you have made all of us afraid by what you've planted in our minds. And now I want to give you a little seed of something. I want to tell you what my God is able to do to you. And I'm going to do a little prophesying here. I'm going to tell you what God is going to do. You might think that I'm a ruddy and I'm of a fair countenance, but we got something for you. That's what we tell the devil, don't we? We let him know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is going to take you through whatever it is, whatever giants you're facing, whatever problems it is, you just trust him. No battle you've ever faced or you ever will face, there'll never be a battle that you won't win if you do it according to God's word and to God's law. That's the law that's in my mind that the Lord has planted in our mind. Trust in me. Seek my face in everything that you have to deal with, and I'll take you through. The Lord says that to us. All right? I will smite thee. I'm going to take your head off of you. And this boy, all he had was 5 smooth stones. How are you going to take his head off of him? This was a prophecy. This was about to happen. So what can we say? When we've lived the way that God wants us to live, and we've done, and we've met all the conditions that the Lord requires of us, we can say to the giants that we face, I'm going to take your head off of you today. Well, what do you have? Where's the sword? You just left the sword back there. Well, listen, I've got something that the Lord wants me to use to take your head off. I've got the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. Read, please. I'm going to give the carcasses of the host of the He didn't say Goliath. I'm going to give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines. This day, not tomorrow, not in some future time, but today we're going to win today. We're going to go through this today. And it's not just going to be you that's going to come down, but the rest of y'all are going to come down as well. Saints, that's the victory. That's the law of God. That's what he says, that victory belongs to us.
Amen.
Jesus fought the battle through, and he gives to us the victory. The reason we can say it is not because of our strength, but because of his. Don't let the enemy, don't let this big, looming, imposing, threatening thing that seems like it's just too much, don't let it bring you down. Don't let it make you where you feel like you don't have any strength. It's not you. It's the Lord in you. He's the one. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All right. Wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord that saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. So the battle is the Lord's. When the devil comes against you, bares his teeth, shows his armor, speaks all kinds of pomp and whatever it is that he said, all kinds of things that he said, realize this is not your battle. You're just in the army of the Lord. He is not fighting you. He is fighting the Christ that is in you. Lord, help us understand that. And it came to pass, when the Philistine, you know the story, don't you? He came drew nigh to meet David. David hasted. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid. Saints, don't be afraid. Whatever the battle is, don't be afraid. Lord, help us. I preach this to me. I'm preaching it to me too. Don't be afraid. Whatever it is, for the ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag. Took thence the stone. No, he ran to meet the. No, you have to keep in mind that they are arrayed. So this is this big imposing army behind them, and this big giant that's the centerpiece of the army. They knew that he was the best that they had. And here's this little army of Israel on the other side of this little boy that's running toward him. Running. No sword, no shield. But one of the first missiles that we've ever heard of, isn't it? One of the first missiles ever used in battle. Lord, help us. Read.
Smote the
Philistine and slew him and smote him in the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, the sword that was meant for him. It reminds me of Haman. Remember that story? Where Haman was going to destroy the Jews and made a gallows to hang them, and the very thing that he was going to use to destroy them was used to destroy him. All right? The Lord has a way of doing that for his people. Saints, you can trust him. You can trust God. All right? He drew out his own sword and slew him. cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And what did the men of Israel do? Men of Israel, they arose, shouted, and pursued the Philistine. Alright, so they killed the Philistines. That gave them, you know, somebody's watching your battles. When you get up and you testify about the battles that you're going through, do you know that somebody is watching them? Somebody sees whether or not you slay the giants in your life. Somebody sees whether or not the things that were so imposing and so intimidating. Somebody is watching whether or not you have used the things that God has given you, that which God has given you, that which you know how to do. Have you used them? They know whether or not you've used them. And if you have used them, that is what encourages them to be able to say, "And you know what? I can fight this battle too. This is part of my battle. Lord, help us." All right? All right, let's go a little further here. Romans. You know, there is another story in the Bible in Samuel where it speaks about where the army came and encompassed, was it Elijah? Elisha, about. And his servant came to him and said, "Well, Elisha, there's this great army that's around us." And he said, "Well, greater are they that are with us than they that are with them." And he couldn't see anybody. And what did he ask the Lord to do? Open his eyes that he could see. You know, sometimes we need the Lord to open our eyes that we can see as well. Romans 12, verse 1. Read it, please. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So this is what third scripture is what I want you to get a hold of. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." You know, the way that we view ourselves, we're to have a balanced view of who we are. And you know, one of the things that they're saying in today's day and time is there are so many people that have a low self-esteem. And they think so low of themselves. And then there are those that have too high of a thought of themselves. And so the Lord doesn't want us to do either one. He doesn't want us to think so highly of ourselves or so low, particularly when we're in battle. You know, the scripture says in one place, "Take heed, he that thinketh he stand, and take heed, lest he fall." You'll never face a battle that you don't have the potential of falling in. No matter how small that battle is, it's not just a small thing that you're dealing with. There is a whole slew of things behind it that if you yield to this, you're going to yield to something else as well. This is how we began the thought today. In the evil that I don't want to do, that's when I do. But there was, how did that evil that I don't want to do, how did I begin to do that? It was because there was something that I did want to do. There was some part of sin that I wanted to partake of, and I thought that this would be not so bad, and consequently I'm putting this in general terms, I'm not using myself here, but as we take that in a general sense that we want to partake of this sin, then what happens is it is connected with a whole lot of other sins. And we can't cut ourselves loose from it. It takes the power and the blood of Jesus Christ to cut us loose from it. And now what we can do, what we can say is, I have total freedom. I can do what I want to do. I can go where I want to go. I am what I want to be in this life. Why? Not because I'm being forced at, but because this is what the Lord put in my heart. I want to do it. I want to live for Him. Don't let somebody tell you that the church of God has all these do's and don'ts. We do have them. But we have only one do and one don't. Really, ultimately. Everything else you have liberty to do, whatever you want to do, but you have, do what's right, what you know is right, what God has laid in your heart and in your mind, that this is the way I want you to live. You do that. And when you see that there's one thing that's wrong, there's something that's wrong that the Lord has dealt with you personally about, don't do it. Brother Darrell doesn't have a heaven to take you to. I don't have the keys to the gates of heaven. I am not a policeman. But I'm going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to tell you what's right and I'm going to show you what's wrong. Just because it's a popular thing for everybody to say everybody is a Christian doesn't mean I'm going to say it. Everybody that claims to be a Christian is not. You know that. I know that. There are a lot of folks that have given Christianity a bad name. And so now, consequently, folks have that in their mind. And let me tell you, there are folks that are giving the Church of God a bad name. Don't let them do it. Take your eyes off the hypocrites. Take your eyes off of those that have done wrong, that hurt people. Yes, there have been people that hurt people. Put your eyes on those that are endeavoring by the grace of God to live a righteous and a holy life. And you know some of those folks as well. Lord, help us. That's what I had to do. And so what the enemy wants to do, and let me tell you, I get it all the time. The enemy wants to present to my mind and put all these things in my mind, and part of it is true. There's a portion of it that is true. There's a portion of it. And so consequently, when I hear those things, it affects me. And so now what do? You want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now I've said it before, there have been people that have hurt people. Church doesn't hurt people. Not the true church doesn't hurt people. Let me tell you, people hurt people. And all of us have not been the wisest in how we've dealt with people in times past. I can say that myself. But I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. No one will miss heaven because someone hurt them. Well, Brother Darrell, listen to it. That wouldn't be fair. The Lord made provision for us. And one of the provisions that the Lord has made for everyone, forgiveness. And what does He say? If you don't forgive your brother his trespasses, what's the Lord going to do? He's not going to forgive you. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, that tells me that somebody's going to do something to you in your lifetime that you're going to have to forgive them for. There are things that people have done to me. Do you suppose that I haven't been hurt? You know, some of the folks that have said I've hurt them the worst have been the ones that have hurt me the worst. You know what? I have to forgive them. And you know what? As somebody said it, the grace of God. Grace will take you through it. So I don't have to miss heaven because somebody did something to me. And I can't forgive them. And it's hurt me so deeply. And it's wounded me so. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Do you believe that? But what the devil, again, warring against the law of my mind. So what the devil will do, he'll take truth, that which is true, and he'll stick it with something that's completely false, and he'll try to lead us in a different direction. Yeah. Right? So the law of my mind is that I've got to forgive when somebody does something against me. That's a law. That's the law of God. Because he said, if you don't forgive them, then I'm not going to forgive you. All right? Another law is that the grace come boldly to the throne of grace that you may be able to obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. That means I have the ability to have the grace that I need, no matter what they're saying, or no matter what they're doing. So I can't think so highly. The problem is that I think so highly of myself that they need to come and ask. They don't need to come. Folks have not asked me for forgiveness yet. That I feel like, yes, do you owe me an apology? And the scripture says, oh, no man, anything much in love. You owe me an apology, and they haven't apologized yet. So what does that mean? I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold it until, well, the enemy will plant that in your mind. You're not forgive them. They hurt you.
And they know they hurt you, and they did it on purpose, whether they did or not. And you need to just sit right there and just make them come to you. You know, I've had people to do that, and you know, I've already forgiven them and gone on about my business, and they're still holding it against me. Lord, help us. I've got to forgive. I can't allow the enemy to put unforgiveness in my mind, because in wars, it's going to affect the war that I'm fighting. It's going to have some effect on the whether or not I have victory in the thing that I need victory in, because I can't. I'm holding on to a grudge. I'm holding on to something that somebody said long or did long time ago, 5 years ago, or 5 months ago, or 5 days ago. Lord, help me to forgive. This is what will eliminate or fight the victory that you need if you can't forgive. Lord, help us. Because you think so highly of yourself, but it says here, I say that through the grace that is given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. A person that can't forgive is a person that thinks too highly of themselves. Help us, Lord. And your trials are going to, how effective you are in your facing your giants, depends on how you view yourself. All right, let's go to another scripture. These are all familiar scriptures, but like the Lord's giving it to us. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Let's read it. We'll try to bring this to a close.
Likewise,
you younger. You submit yourselves unto the elder. But you know what? I got more education than the elders have. And they don't understand. Listen, those elders were your age one time. And I've learned that even though a person that may not know a whole lot, they know a whole lot more than you do. I was telling somebody the other day, I don't have a big degree, but I got a degree in life. And you know how long it took me to get it? 50 years. And I'm still learning. Learn something new every day. All right, read.
Likewise,
yes.
You submit yourselves to the elders, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility.
That's the law of God. The law of God is the law that is in the Lord puts in our minds that we are that's part of the spiritual constitution, shall we say, is humility. Everything that we get from the Lord, one way to get it is through humility. All right.
God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. You need more grace? You need grace to deal with this thing? Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So in other words, how I need to look at myself very balanced, don't I? Lord, help us to do that. Now, one other scripture. Luke 21:34. Someone get us 2 Timothy 1:7. Yes. Take heed unto yourself. Your hearts be overcharged, surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. That day comes upon you unawares. You know what we have, as we mentioned earlier, there could be so much that it comes on our mind that we don't take care of our spiritual well-being. Have you ever heard of somebody saying, you know what, I'm so tired and I've been to work. I worked 6 days a week and I'm just going to take Sunday off and I'm just going to rest. Do you know what? If we're not careful, we'll be doing that when the Lord comes instead of doing what we're supposed to do. Lord, help us. So it says, watch, pray. That day can come upon you unawares. All right? 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. He's not given us a spirit of fear, power, and of love, and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So
So what I want us to understand that we don't have to be afraid of the things that we're facing. We don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to be scared of the giants that are in our lives and the trials that seem like they're overwhelming and imposing. The Lord's going to give us whatever we need to go through. He's going to give us the power. He's going to give us the victory. It's already ours. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever seems like it's the most difficult thing that you're going through, the Lord, the devil wants to make you feel like there's no way to win. But the Lord wants you to understand that the battle is already won. And if you'll grab hold of that and you trust the Lord will take you to whatever it is that you're facing. Pray for me.